ones who get it done.
Welcome to the Talk Radio Countdown Show with Doug Steffen, counting down what America's talking about. The Talk Radio
Countdown. My name is Crystal Larson. I'm a Democrat.
I'm Joe DeSano. I'm a Democratic strategist in the state of Michigan.
Gary Zelensky.
I'm Tony Trupiano. I am a pro-liberal.
And you voted for Rick Santorum.
I sure did.
When and there you voted for?
Santorum. The past 7 days, we've been organizing and creating a list of Democrats who have committed to vote for Santorum in today's election.
You know, it's my way of protecting Obama.
I think Rick Santorum would be a weaker candidate. Of course he would be.
It's going to throw the GOP into some turmoil.
Well, if it's not just going to be Michigan. The liberal blogs, they're saying start in Michigan, but there are several other contests coming up with the same kind of open primary rules.
There's the latest ad from Mitt Romney highlighting Democrats who voted for Rick Santorum in the Michigan primary because they believe he's a weak candidate and can easily be defeated by President Obama. What do you think of that? Presidential race is where we get started in this hour of the Talk Radio Countdown Show. Welcome in. Doug Steffen here, starting off with talk host Cheryl Fritz, who has Michigan Governor Rick Snyder on their program. They talk about the Michigan primary, Super Tuesday, and the road ahead for Mitt Romney.
You obviously believe the platform that Governor Romney is working on is going to put more jobs in a state.
I do. He's got a lot of good things in that regard. One about tax reform, simpler, fairer, more efficient system, you know, lower rates, broader base. Regulatory reform is a huge issue about getting rid of regulations while still doing our fiduciary duty. Many things. And in many respects, the good part about having the primary in Michigan, that was a great way to highlight our state because we face many of those issues. We dealt with budget deficit. We're paying down liabilities. We're working regulatory reform. We're seeing jobs being created. But the challenge is Washington's a mess. And so we need some leadership in Washington that can go in and do many of the same things that we're doing here in Michigan. So the nice part is a good chance to show that we're a role model for what needs to happen nationally.
And that was one of the questions you gave me a perfect lead-in. Does Michigan keep attention as this race moves forward, or does the attention come off Michigan at this point?
Well, the attention will shift to other states, but it was a great period to highlight, you know, we're the comeback story in the country in a relative sense. We're at the bottom for a whole decade, and we're coming back strong. And the whole point of us doing the things that we've done while they need to be done in Washington helps highlight that. I think what you find is the general election comes along, Michigan will gather a lot of attention because I think we are going to be one of the key states in November.
I heard an interesting from a gentleman I talked with this morning, Dale Petrosky, former Reagan White House staffer. He said he wouldn't be surprised to see Santorum join the Romney ticket. What are your thoughts on that as a ticket?
Well, that's always one of those premature speculation things, but people like to talk about them. I mean, there's a long way to go in the primary because the system's set up to take some time because they're proportional delegates for most of the states until later on. And I'm sure as that process goes on, there'll be more speculation. I hope Governor Romney wins the nomination. I believe he will. And from there, I'm sure he'll look at a number of good people.
Of course, talking with Michigan Governor Rick Snyder, I heard you in an interview last night from Romney headquarters talking about Governor Romney being on a great path to victory. Is this where you see him going?
Yeah, well, it's going to be a long, tough fight to get through the whole process because it is a long struggle. But it's a fact of the matter, yeah, he is on a good path because he's focused on the right issue, their jobs and kids.
And looking forward to Super Tuesday, do you see some areas that are going to be tough for him, or does he simply refocus and move forward with his current message?
Well, I think he's just going to continue on forward with the jobs message because that's what counts. But there are a lot of states. I think you're going to see a lot of attention focused on Ohio, our neighboring state, and I think the issues are very similar there. So I hope he's very successful there, just as he was in Michigan.
The subject came up several times in Michigan on the auto bailout. Do you think that the way the voters turned out in support of Romney yesterday says that jobs are actually more important than that issue is behind us?
Well, it should be in many respects, and that's what I've said continually, is that it got done. It was successful, and it's great to have the auto industry doing well. I'm very excited about the auto industry. But there were other ways to do it, including some of the things Governor Romney talked about. So I don't see the value in armchair quarterbacking an issue that's done. When I believe the issue on most voters' minds are, what are these candidates going to do for us for jobs today and tomorrow? And I believe Governor Romney's getting focused in on that, doing a good job of that. And I think that's the question people should be asking when the general election comes back to Michigan.
Up next, more opinion and reaction to the primaries this week in Michigan and Arizona. That's up next here on the Talk Radio Countdown.
Hey, Kelly. So, who'd you hire to do your emails?
What? You know it's just me here.
Come on, I got your newsletter. Pretty fancy. Photos, coupons. Come on, who is it?
Oh, no one, silly. I use Constant Contact.
Really?
With ConstantContact.com, it's so easy. They make me look like $1 million, and the emails really work.
Oh, yeah?
It got you in here today, didn't it?
Touché.
ConstantContact.com. Plans as low as $15 a month with a free 60-day trial.
Come on up here and sit down on the porch with me.
I love staying here. How long have you lived here?
A long time. You know, your mother grew up here.
I'm going to have a house like this when I grow up.
I hope so, buddy. I hope so.
For the first time in generations, the dream of home ownership is being threatened. Realtors, members of the National Association of Realtors, are here to represent you and protect home ownership. Visit houselogic.com/homeownership to learn more.
Wow, we have so much we have to do around the house.
Awesome.
A reason to go to the Tool Mega Sale at Sears this week.
Fix the car.
Up to 50% off all Craftsman Mechanics tool sets. Check.
And the garage is a mess.
Up to 50% off Craftsman tool storage. Booyah!
And the faucet is... Honey, are you okay?
I'm just so excited.
Tackle your to-do list at the Tool Mega Sale this week only at Sears. Hundreds of Craftsman tools on sale in one place. Craftsman. Trust in your hands. Exclusions apply. See store for details.
On my journey to help save people money on car insurance, people have been really surprised to learn that GEICO can also help with renter's insurance. They're even more surprised when I tell them it costs as little as $12 a month. But perhaps what's most surprising is that I still live with my mum. Yeah, I know, I really should start thinking about renting my own place. But then I'd have to get my own tea kettle, sofa, shower curtain, soap dish.
Visit GEICO.com to see how affordable renter's insurance can be.
The Department of Defense commemorates the 60th anniversary of the Korean War. We are proud to present the following stories of those who served when their nation called. Donald Cohen, 2nd Infantry Division.
Well, the first time I saw somebody killed, it was a hell of a shock. But, you know, I'd never seen anything like this before. In the movies, you know, you eat your candy bar and popcorn and you go home, you know. But that is, you know, there was no John Wayne. There's no band or music playing. That's all you hear is explosions and bullets flying over your head and grenades going off. So, you're confused. But, somewhere down the line, it's a training that takes in self-preservation. You know, you're not going to run back. There's no way, because they'll shoot you in the back. So, there's only one way to go forward. Do your best.
See more hero stories at KoreanWar.defense.gov.
Talk radio in review. We are installing certain thoughts in your mind on the GOP race. For example, this one comes from Martha McCallum on Fox. Here she has Arizona Governor Jan Brewer on about the primaries and whether Brewer thinks the long primary process is helping or hurting the Republicans.
You came out just recently and supported Put Your Support Behind Mitt Romney. He had a big night in Arizona. What's your reaction to how things went?
Well, I thought it was terrific. It was a big win, and I think that we will see a lot more winning states coming our way, if you will, given the fact that people will rally around Mitt Romney because they believe that he's the candidate that can turn our country around.
You know, talk to me a little bit about his stance on immigration, and does it line up, you know, 100% with the way you think that things should be done there? You know, is that why you decided to back him?
Well, with Governor Romney, he understands what we're facing here, and he supports the idea that the border needs to be secured, and he certainly understands why we initiated and I signed Senate Bill 1070. But, you know, as him being a former governor, he's going to work with us. He's going to talk to us. He understands that states are on the is where the rubber meets the road. And so we're going to have good dialogue with him. And so I support him strongly. I believe that he believes that our borders need to be secured and that states have rights. Yeah. And if the federal government, they're not going to do their job, that the states are allowed to do that. And I think we will find that when we get to the Supreme Court in April, mm-hmm. that they will side with Arizona.
Yeah, that's going to be important. You know, in the larger picture, you said something to Brett Baer that I thought was very interesting, and we just played a clip of it a little while ago. You said you think it's damaging, this process, this very prolonged, some might say, process of picking a Republican frontrunner. Why do you think it's damaging? A lot of, you know, Sarah Palin says she thinks this should go on as long as possible so that all these candidates are vetted over and over.
Well, it's been a little painful, and I think vetting is very, very important, but I think we've had a long run at it, and I'm hoping that after the election next Tuesday, Super Tuesday, that everybody will kind of coalesce and we can get behind our candidate and move forward and run against the problem, the administration of failure. And that's what's important, that we get a leader that can get us out of this terrible times that we've been in the last 4 years. And I think Mitt Romney is the candidate. So I think that it would serve the Republican Party better. I think we've had plenty of venting.
Taco's Bob Murray here with CBS political analyst Dottie Lynch. And they talk about how important both of the primary wins are for Mitt Romney.
What's your take on Arizona and Michigan? Arizona, a big win for Mitt Romney, and a win, not as big maybe as he wanted, in his home state of Michigan, where he grew up.
Well, that's right about both of those. In Michigan, he said it wasn't a big win, but a win. And I think everybody is concluding that he dodged a bullet in Michigan, and it was a very, very important bullet to dodge. Had he lost in Michigan, I think the GOP establishment, a lot of people who've already endorsed Romney, would be very nervous and starting to look for another candidate. I think he survived that and then goes into Super Tuesday in fairly good shape. But the next week is going to be a really important week for him, especially as far as Ohio is concerned.
If he takes Ohio, then is it basically over? He's won the nomination?
Well, I think it's probably a very likely scenario that he would win. There will be, however, a lot of people looking at some of those southern states. New Cambridge expected to win Georgia, Tennessee's in play, Oklahoma, and there may still be question marks in terms of the conservative Republicans and how likely he is to be able to get them to vote for him, whether he's going to try to play in some of those southern states. They are proportional, so to rack up those delegate totals, he may try to do some campaigning down there, but I think there'll be questions about his appeal to conservatives, but the win in Michigan followed by a win in Ohio, I think, would pretty much put him on course.
Donnie, what about former U.S. Senator Rick Santorum? His camp, of course, is saying this morning, oh, well, we did just fine. But what about finances after a loss where some people thought he might edge Mitt Romney in Michigan? Is it dealt a blow to his campaign?
Well, I think it's slowed it down a bit. He may have enough money to compete in Ohio, but Mitt Romney's going to spend a lot of money on the air in Ohio. And I think in Michigan, the loss reflected several things, but in particular the part that Santorum has no infrastructure to speak of, that early vote that is so important that it's turned out by organization. Mitt Romney won by about 60% to 30% over Santorum. And in Ohio, Romney also has a ground game. So I think the resources are crucial for Santorum. This may slow down a lot of new people, but for the next week he probably has enough money to be competitive in states, and but not the way he would had he won in Michigan.
And Donnie, when you say ground game, this is something that's been a plus for Mitt Romney, has it? This political season, it's been he has people that have been in states and they're really secure there, meaning they go out and they really work the neighborhoods. Is that what the ground game is all about?
There's some of it, but now there's also social media as well. Santorum benefited from a lot of social media in the states where he did well, as in Colorado and Minnesota, where he was able to tap into networks of Christian conservatives via emails and other devices to get them organized. So it's a matter of having the list and having a structure in order to get the, whether it's the phone calls or the mailers or people getting their friends and neighbors out to vote. Romney's had sort of the established Republican list for a long time.
Up next, Rick Santorum tries to take back some of the comments about religion when the Talk Radio Countdown Show continues.
Introducing a diabetes breakthrough, an easy, natural, organic way to bring relief to diabetics. Introducing MDS Forte, a concentrated super strength extract formulated for those who are looking for relief. What can MDS Forte do for you? MDS Forte reduces glucose levels safely and effectively, reduces cholesterol and triglyceride levels, increases HDL or good cholesterol while reducing LDL or bad cholesterol. MDS Forte reduces A1C, improves eyesight and circulation to the limbs, and helps with weight loss. Is non-toxic, caffeine-free, 100% natural, 100% organic, and comes with a 100% money-back guarantee. Waiting for the side effects disclaimers? With MDS Forte, there are none. Order a 25-day treatment of MDS Forte by calling 213-405-5355, 213-405-5355, or visit bestbloodsupport.com. That's bestbloodsupport.com for MDS Forte, a diabetes breakthrough.
Listeners are discovering a simple way to earn money. We're talking quit your nowhere job and work from home type of money. IncomeAtHome19.com has come to us for listeners who want to work from home. Listen to this.
I have to tell you, it's the best decision that I ever made because we replaced my income and my husband's income. This business has allowed us to quit our jobs and we're both at home full time and loving it. Best decision I ever made.
Listeners, IncomeAtHome19.com is A-plus rated for their business ethics. They're affiliated with a multi-billion-dollar company and they do business in over 75 countries. No selling soap, no pressure, no cold calling. They bring money-making opportunities to your computer, either full or part-time. If you're ready to make a change and start earning money from home, go to IncomeAtHome19.com now. They're even giving away $1,000 to someone just for checking them out. Visit IncomeAtHome19.com. IncomeAtHome19.com. That's IncomeAtHome19.com.
We're counting down what America's talking about. The Talk Radio Countdown Show continues.
You know, this program, the Talk Radio Countdown Show, is all about the hot hits in talk radio and talk television, a review of many programs that we monitor on television and radio every day. Alex Wagner here talking to Hogan Gidley, Rick Santorum's campaign communication director, about Santorum making these comments about church and state and the separation thereof.
Your candidate, Senator Santorum, has said he wishes he could take back the line he said about wanting to throw up regarding John F. Kennedy's line about the separation of church and state. Last night, he seemed to be making more of a point about women, achievement, going to college, higher education. Do you think that there's been a problem with discipline in the last 2 weeks?
I wouldn't say there's been a problem with discipline, but I think that the media coverage obviously has been a little bit skewed to focus on the issues that they are the most excited about, and they tend to tear him down on the social issues, and that's fine. But we know that Rick Santorum's message of jobs and the economy and bringing back the manufacturing sector and tripling the child tax credit are all very important to him, and he talks about those things regularly on the stump, and it just, you know, the media tends to focus on one or two specific points from the speech. And last night was beautiful because he gave that speech and I got so many calls saying, well, is he punting on social issues? Why is he not talking about social issues? And so it's ridiculous that we give a speech and you're danged if you do, danged if you don't. And he says he brings up social issues and he brings them up too much. He answers questions about social issues. He brings them up too much. And then he doesn't bring them up. And then they say, why isn't he talking about social issues? So that's just the nature of a campaign. And we're ready for all that commentary that comes after a speech.
When you talk about the media's preoccupation with social issues, I just want to call your attention to the fact that on February 10th, Senator Santorum said that women shouldn't maybe be on the front lines because of the emotions that are involved. On February 22nd, he talked about the president crushing Judeo-Christian values. On February 25th, he questioned whether going to a four-year college was snobby. And on February 26th, he said the Kennedy speech wanted to make him throw up. Those are a lot of bombs to throw in not a very short time. So maybe that there is some culpability on Senator Santorum's part, perhaps?
Perhaps, but it would be better, perhaps, if you would quote him accurately on what he was talking about and, of course, the nature of the comment. And he was talking about women on the front line, but he was talking about men's emotions, not a woman's emotions. When you're talking about college, he wasn't saying it was snobbery to go to a four-year college. His mom did that. Mom went to graduate school. He's pushing all, of course, his children to go to college. But the fact of the matter is, if one of them comes to him and says, I think this is a better path for me, he knows it's not the government's role to tell them what to do. And that was the point he was trying to make. And this whole election from the get-go has been about freedoms. And that's what he's been talking about. Whether it's your decision to go to college or not, it should be your decision. And those are the things he's been talking about.
Here's host Dimitri Sotis talking to James Holman from Politico.com. And the focus here is Super Tuesday.
So he wins in his home state, and not by just a sliver, I mean 3 or 4 percentage points, but that is considered a narrow victory, is it not?
Yeah, and that's what the Santorum folks say. This is a muddled victory. The fact that we spent the last week with Mitt Romney fighting over the state that his dad was governor in for 3 terms shows how vulnerable he is. But when you look at the actual exit polls, Romney did well with the groups he's had problems with. He did well with independent, big-minded folks, with women, with just lots of groups that are going to be critical to his coalition this fall. So it was much better than a lot of people expected, but about in line with privately what the Romney folks have been saying in recent days.
Now, what does Rick Santorum take away? Does he take some rocket fuel or at least a little bit of juice out of these contests?
It sort of bursts his bubble a little bit. It takes away a lot of the momentum that he had. Now Super Tuesday becomes really a last stand. Ohio, especially of the 10 states coming up, if Santorum can't win Ohio, Romney is going to be the nominee. It's just a matter of time. And Santorum is ahead in the polls there right now, but Romney's definitely going to get some momentum coming out of these 2 victories tonight.
And is Super Tuesday, a week from tonight, going to be something close to the Alamo for Newt Gingrich? Win something?
Oh, yeah. At this point, Newt Gingrich is an X factor to determine whether or not he's a spoiler for Newt Gingrich. Politico did a poll that we released yesterday, and a spoiler for Santorum. Politico did a poll, and we found that almost all Republican voters now see this as a 2-man race between Romney and Santorum. Santorum supporters say that their second choice overwhelmingly is Mitt Romney, not Newt Gingrich, which means that even if Santorum starts to fade after Super Tuesday, that just sort of means that Republican voters are going to fall in line behind Mitt Romney.
Shifting the focus is what we'll do. How do you like my Yoda impression? The cost of gasoline, that disgusting reality, up next here on the Talk Radio Review.
The dietary guidelines recommend choosing products with whole grain listed as the first ingredient. However, it can be confusing to find products with whole grain in the grocery store, and even harder to know how much you're getting in those foods. Dr. Travis Stork, an ER physician and host of The Doctors, has partnered with General Mills to offer tips for getting more whole grain into your diet.
One easy place to substitute in whole grains is in the cereal, the bread, or the pasta aisle. But shoppers do need to read the ingredient list on the side of the box if they want to get the real scoop. You want to make sure the word whole is listed first in the ingredient list, and it should be followed by a grain like wheat. And companies are making it easier and easier. As an example, the cereals with the white check now highlight the grams of whole grain per serving on the side of the box, because in the end, you should know the ingredients of the products you buy.
For more information on the benefits of whole grain, visit WholeGrainNation.com. That's WholeGrainNation.com.
I'm Lou D'Ambrosio, CEO of Sears Holdings, which includes Kmart. Kmart is a proud supporter of March of Dimes, March for Babies. March for Babies gives our company an opportunity to support our families and our community. Take steps to help moms and babies at home and around the country. Join us and the 20,000 other companies who are walking together for stronger, healthier babies, and start your team at marchforbabies.org.
At Advance Auto Parts, we don't do anything just part way. We go full throttle. We don't just sell you oil. No, we work to bring you deals. Like a Pennzoil conventional oil change special for just $20.99. Plus, come to Advance Auto Parts now and register to win free gas for 1 whole year. Repeat after me. Free gas for a year. Service is our best part.
Advance Auto Parts.
No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited. Visit AdvanceAutoParts.com/Pennzoil for program rules and to enter.
America's number one source for independent talk radio for over a decade. We are the GCN Radio Network.
These are strange days indeed, from economic turmoil to weather-related events, and yes, even power outages. Hi, everybody. Jason Lewis here. Let me tell you why I use WiseFoodStorage.com. WiseFoodStorage.com provides the most affordable and complete ready-made meals for emergency preparedness and outdoor use. Their entrees like pasta Alfredo, savory stroganoff, and apple cinnamon cereal carry a 25-year shelf life and are prepared in minutes simply by adding water. They even provide great-tasting a la carte items like freeze-dried fruits, vegetables, vegetables, and desserts to ensure that you have more nutrition and energy when you need it most. Visit wisefoodstorage.com today to request a free entree sample and see for yourself why they are the best in the business. For a limited time, enter the promo code Lewis to get no-cost shipping on any order. That's wisefoodstorage.com or call 1-855-FOODWISE and be sure to mention the promo code Lewis for a free sample and free shipping on any order. Be wise and be ready with wisefoodstorage.com.
Take charge of your health. Get all natural innovative health products from the new AffinityHealthProducts.com. From weight loss to cold and flu remedies to better joint function, discover natural products you can trust online at AffinityHealthProducts.com, like Lose and Snooze. Fact is, 90% of all diets fail. Why not try a completely new way of dieting? With Lose and Snooze, you can achieve weight loss while you sleep. Guaranteed. Reduce caloric intake, get a deep restorative sleep, build lean muscle mass, and keep your metabolic rate up to burn fat throughout the night and day. With all-natural Lose and Snooze from AffinityHealthProducts.com. Include the one-day diet for a complete weight loss package. Order Lose and Snooze and the one-day diet and other all-natural products for men and women online at AffinityHealthProducts.com. Spelled AffinityHealthProducts.com. HealthProducts.com. Or call 877-888-7126. That's 877-888-7126.
What is the most abundant resource on Earth? Water. It's essential for sustaining life, but it's not always the most available. When disaster strikes, water quickly vanishes from store shelves, like it did during 9/11, Katrina, Japan, and in Joplin. 3 days without water and your body begins to shut down. Don't risk being without an abundant supply of water when the next disaster hits. Get a FlowJack hand well pump. The affordable FlowJack drops right into almost any well and is easy to install without having to remove the existing pump, giving you immediate access to plenty of cool, clean water. You could risk your family's health on a limited supply of stored water, or you could be prepared with the reliable, affordable FlowJack backup hand pump kit, delivered to your door for only $3.99 complete. See how it works at FlowJack.com, spelled FlowJack.com. Be sure to spell FlowJack.com or call 855-4-FLOWJACK. That's 855-435-6525. Proudly made in America. FlowJack hand well pumps. Peace of mind in a box.
We're counting down what America's talking about. The Talk Radio Countdown Show continues.
Halfway through the hour, Doug Steffen back again. The cost of gasoline is here in focus as we listen to John Williams talk to Donna Long, his radio station's receptionist, who goes off on a rant about what she's having to pay for gas.
Donna, it's John. You're on the air.
Hi, John.
What'd you pay for gas?
$3.99.
That's not how you put it when I walk down the hall.
$3.99. That's enough. That's disgusting. I don't know what else to do. Can we pipe a line somewhere from in the United States and get the gas from here?
So you want a special Donna Long pipeline?
$3.99. What is the highest gas? Are we paying the highest gas price in the country on
no.
the south side of Chicago?
Mm-mm. No, there's a station at LaSalle and Clark that's charging $4.20.
Oh, my God. I'll probably have to park my car there and hitch a ride, or ride on the back of somebody's car.
So we called with good news, Donna. You're only paying $3.99 a gallon.
But still, okay, that was this morning at 7 o'clock. By the time I get home this evening, it'll probably be at 4.05.
So how are you going from A to B to C to D, Donna?
I'm just standing still.
You're not even going to B now.
I can't do nothing but just stand and look around and try to figure out now how I'm going to get over here to B. You know, without moving this car.
So your car's like a 2,000-pound paperweight now.
Right, exactly.
It's like
exactly.
art. It's just an object of art. They go, look
That's
at that
it.
Interesting thing that lady is standing next to.
And I'm standing up there looking around.
So Donna treats me, you know, like our receptionist here, like the gas is my fault. So for some reason now, whenever I walk up and down the hall, every time the gas, what's the station you buy your gas at, Donna?
BP.
I know. Well, it's not all, but you're at like 60, what are you at?
It's over on 53rd and 53rd. Lake Park.
All right, 53rd and Lake Park. So you go by that gas station, and then you come to work, and then I walk down the hall, and you go, $3.99, John. $3.99. Like I've got the money in my pocket. I'm not the gas station, Donna.
But that you become king,
yeah.
So you can help me out.
Well, I think it sucks that the people who live on the south side maybe don't have as much money as people in the suburbs. But the people in the suburbs pay $3.75, and Donna on the south side pays $3.99.
$3.99.
Here's radio man Garland Robinette with financial analyst Jeff Ball about the role of speculators and the big oil companies in what you're paying for gasoline.
Every time we do this show, we hear this. We've said that speculators are really behind this. Big oil is restricting oil so that the prices will go up. The gasoline stations themselves ramp up prices just to rip people off. But talk to me from the scholarship end of it. Where are we with all this?
Well, here's the bottom line. People disagree about the role of so-called speculators in the oil price. The federal government says that upwards of 70% of the price of a gallon of gasoline that you and I buy at the pump comes from the price of crude oil. And just to sort of step back for a second, there are long-term forces that are pushing up the price of oil, largely increased demand, not in the United States, but across the globe, particularly in countries like China, whose economies are growing really fast. And more short-term, there are very serious concerns about Iran, which both produces oil and sits geographically by a water body, the Straits of Hormuz, which is crucial in terms of the transportation of oil from the Middle East to consuming nations like us. And so both for long-term reasons and for more immediate reasons, there are concerns in the oil market that are driving up the price of oil now. As to the question of speculators, there have been a number of studies that the U.S. government has done, which have basically concluded that concerns about the role of speculators are overblown. However, there's some analysis and speculation, a different kind of speculation recently, that suggests that speculators, that is, traders, are playing a bigger part in the market right now. That is, people who are buying futures of oil on the theory that the value of those futures is going to rise for reasons I just talked about, things like Chinese demand and concerns about Iran, and holding those. You know, that's called the market. That's the way the market works. There's a big political tussle in this country over whether the government ought to get involved in restraining that kind of trading.
That's what I'm going to ask you about. Explain to me the basics. If I wanted to get on my computer and speculate in oil futures, can I?
Well, I mean, you know, certainly you consumers directly or indirectly can enter the oil market. But, you know, the real players, much bigger players than consumers.
Do they need a license by the United States to do what they do? Or are they just, they have the expertise, they work for the companies, or they with the hedge funds that do it?
They're traders. They're just traders.
So they just get on a computer and do it, right?
Well, yeah, I mean, there's an oil market, and you go on the market and you buy and sell, but, you know, at least indirectly, that market is open to consumers as well.
Next on our review, the aftermath of the shooting in Ohio, here on the Talk Radio Countdown.
Referrals. Simple word, right? To a small business, referrals are solid gold. So how do you stir them up? Email marketing from ConstantContact.com. With Constant Contact, you get easy-to-use templates to showcase your business with photos and coupons. And best of all, it's easy for your customers to pass them along to others. In other words, help you generate the almighty referral. Plans as low as $15 a month. Get your free 60-day trial at ConstantContact.com. And let the referrals begin.
Grandpa!
Hey, there he is. What appearance. Sit down on the porch with me.
I love staying here. How long have you lived here?
A long time. You know, your mother grew up here.
I'm gonna have a house like this when I grow up.
I hope so, buddy. I hope so.
For the first time in generations, the dream of home ownership is being threatened. Realtors, members of the National Association of Realtors, are here to represent you and protect home ownership. Visit houselogic.com/homeownership to learn more.
Wow, we have so much we have to do around the house.
Awesome.
A reason to go to the tool mega sale at Sears this week.
Fix the car.
Up to 50% off all Craftsman Mechanics tool sets. Check.
And the garage is a mess.
Up to 50% off Craftsman tool storage. Booyah!
And the faucet is... Honey, are you okay?
I'm just so excited.
Tackle your to-do list at the Tool Mega Sale. This week, only at Sears. Hundreds of Craftsman tools on sale in one place. Craftsman, trust in your hands. Exclusions apply. See store for details.
Today, my journey to help save people money on car insurance brings me to a shopping mall. Of course, when it comes to shopping for car insurance, most people go to Geico. I mean, with all the discounts they offer, why would you shop anywhere else? There are discounts for complete and defensive driving courses, multi-policy discounts, and discounts for being accident-free. You know, this mall is a real maze. I think I passed that candle store about 5 times.
For a free rate quote, visit geico.com to see how much you could save. Geico, 15 minutes could save you 15% or more on car insurance.
Hi, I'm Olympic gold medalist Shawn Johnson. I want to make sure you know about the March of Dimes March for Babies. This walk is really special to me. I was born with an Apgar score of 0, which is not an ideal way to start. Every day, babies start life the same way, with the odds stacked against them. Their first steps are made possible by ours. All of ours. Take the first step at marchforbabies.org. Let's walk together for stronger, healthier babies.
The Department of Defense commemorates the 60th anniversary of the Korean War. We are proud to present the following stories of those who served when their nation called. Glenwood Madero, 2nd Infantry Division, recipient of the Silver Star.
I received the Silver Star, which I didn't even know I had. It took them 57 years before I got it. And how I really found out about it, I went to the 2nd Division Lions on one of their reunions, and Mr. Ralph Huckley, I think it is, he looked up his records and told me I was awarded the Silver Star October 1951. I also told Ralph that I never really got any medals. I never even got a combat badge, no good conduct, nothing. The 2nd Division Alliance started getting busy and found out about what I had coming to me. And finally, I received a Silver Star and all my medals.
See more hero stories at koreanwar.defense.gov.
As we continue on the countdown, our attention focus now is on the school shooting in Northeast Ohio. From Fox, Bill Hemmer talks to Judge Andrew Napolitano about the shooting and whether or not the teenager should be charged as an adult.
Age 17, should he be tried as an adult? You've seen these cases when you're sitting on the bench in New Jersey.
Right.
He's 17. Does he fit?
Well, Ohio's rule is different from most of the other 49 states. In most of the states, if a person commits a serious violent crime at age 16 or 17, the state, the prosecution, has to persuade a judge why that person should be tried as an adult. Ohio has turned that around and says if you are 16 or 17 and you commit a violent crime with a firearm, the burden is on the defendant to show why he should not be tried as an adult. Stated differently, this guy will be tried as an adult because he fits all the requirements for the automatic trial as an adult.
I remember as a younger man, as a younger
you
reporter.
Remember those days?
In Ohio when the law was changed.
Yes.
And the reason it was changed is because of the violence that they were seeing among teenagers.
And because a teenager and an adult can commit the same crime at the same time. And the adult can get 30 years in jail and the teenager can get 18 months in jail. And the good people of Ohio said enough is enough. So this law, which has not caught on in other states yet, mm-hmm. was changed in Ohio.
So the burden of proof is on the juvenile to say why he should be tried as
right.
a juvenile, not as an adult.
Right. He would have to demonstrate to a judge that this was some sort of an aberration or an accident or the result of extraordinary mental immaturity, and that doesn't appear to be the case.
Two distinctions here. He cannot be, you argue, tried for first-degree murder. Why not?
Well, if what we now know turns out to be the case, that is, he didn't go in there intending to kill a specific human being, but just to kill someone, that would make this second-degree murder. First-degree murder is the planning and plotting and targeting of a specific
person.
So
right now, based on what we know, we think it was random, the targets he chose in that cafeteria.
Yes, we could learn more information as the police do their work and do their investigation, but on the basis of what they've now revealed, it appears as though it was random.
Second issue. This is what the prosecutor said just yesterday. This is a person who's not well. On the outside, you would assume that to be the case. But is the prosecutor suggesting the state of mind of this 17-year-old?
That would
perhaps
be,
is not fit for trial? This is the prosecutor now.
It would be very unusual for the prosecutor to say that. That would suggest to me that his unwellness, if you don't object to that word, is so apparent
that they may try and have him committed for the mentally in an institution for the mentally insane. He would stay there until he is sane, which could be 6 months or 6 years or 60 years, depending upon the definition of sodomy.
In the meantime, you listen to some of these parents who have lost their kid, and
it's a heartbreaker. No death penalty under any circumstances because he was under 18 at the time these events occurred. The Supreme Court has prohibited the death penalty in those circumstances.
Point taken.
Here's Talk Host Tara Granahan with Rhode Island Education Commissioner Deborah Gist about school shootings in general and what can be done to keep your children safe.
It's everyone's worst nightmare, obviously. You can't say enough things about the situation in Ohio, and we've seen it before. So what systems are in place here in Rhode Island?
It is incredibly sad, and I've said this on your show before, but as much as we talk about student achievement, as important as that is and all the energy that we pour into that, there's nothing more important than keeping our students safe at school. And I feel confident that the school districts in Rhode Island have procedures in place. State law actually requires that every district has a comprehensive school safety plan, and those plans have to include procedures for emergencies, crises that could happen at the school site.
So each school has a standard lockdown procedure, or do they vary?
Every school has a plan, and those plans have to include a variety of different responses to different kinds of emergencies, and those do include emergencies that would require a lockdown at the school site.
And obviously we haven't, fortunately, have had no situations. We've had scares, you know, someone wrote something on a wall or what have you. But you feel confident, you said, Commissioner Gist, that all systems are in place.
I do. It's actually the Rhode Island Emergency Management Agency that is the lead, that they chair the Rhode Island School Safety Committee, and our agency sits on the School Safety Committee. We have forums on a regular basis. I attended one just this last November. These are forums that help to keep the schools up to date about, most recent information for them to make sure that their plans are up to date. We have emergency procedures, quick guides, preparedness binders and things that we provide to the schools along with that training. And then the school superintendents certify to us on an annual basis that they've met the different requirements and share those plans with the Rhode Island Emergency Management Agency.
Here's host David Serrata talking about school shootings and the way most of us feel that we need to find someone, whether it's a parent or a school bully or somebody else, to blame for these tragedies.
School shootings are in the news again. An Ohio teenager opening fire on five classmates, killing three students and injuring two others. In Seattle, a 9-year-old boy just brought a gun to school and seriously injured a classmate when it was accidentally discharged in his backpack. And lots of questions being raised, once again, as they always are, about what is going on. Why does this kind of thing seem to happen so much more often in the United States than in other industrialized countries? And we've gone through those stats before, how many mass shootings there are, how many kinds of events there are in this country versus other industrialized countries. And we just stand out in this way, and it's really, really bad news. And Time Magazine has got a fascinating piece asking the question, who is to blame? And specifically, are parents to blame? The author writes, we cannot talk about school violence without recognizing where the violence was conceived and nurtured at home. There's always a question. Is it the schools? Is it gun policy? Is it the political culture? Is it, what is it? And Time Magazine makes the argument that it could be parents. And they have some really interesting statistics here making their case. The remaining 7,760 hours of a child's life are on someone else's watch. The remaining 7,760 hours out of a year outside of school are on the parents' watch. Children spend on average only about 11% of their childhood lives in school. Children, they say, are being injured and killed through the shameful negligence of the adults who are responsible for them. Roughly one-third of households with children report owning at least one gun. 43% of those homes report keeping firearms in an unlocked place, while only 39% of these homes keep the guns locked, unloaded, and separate from ammunition. As recommended by the American Academy of Pediatrics and many gun safety advocates nationally, 1.7 million children live in homes with loaded and unlocked firearms. 90% of fatal firearm shootings of children ages 0 to 14 occur in the home. Children between age 5 and 14 are 13 times more likely to die from an accidental firearm accident in the four states with the highest gun ownership than in the four states with the lowest gun ownership. Among children under 5, they are 17 times more likely. Time magazine says this suggests the obvious. The availability of guns is a risk factor for accidental firearm death. But we have more concern about children who bring peanuts to school than we do about children who bring bullets to school.
The passing of music star Davy Jones, a hot hit literally in talk radio. That's next here on The Countdown.
IRS, the three most dreaded letters of the alphabet. If you owe back taxes, have unfiled tax returns, are receiving threatening letters, or have IRS agents coming to your home or place of business, you need an experienced IRS agent fighting on your side. Call the Tax Relief Division of the Law Offices of Craig Zimmerman at 800-652-6978. Spearheaded by a former IRS agent, we know how to negotiate a reduction in the tax you owe, stop wage garnishments, lift bank levies, and negotiate an affordable repayment plan. With 17 years as a practicing attorney and an A-plus Better Business rating, we'll get the IRS off your back once and for all. In fact, recently, when an IRS employee had a tax problem, she called us. Stop being afraid and call right now for your free consultation at 800-652-6978. The phone call is free and there's no obligation, so call 800-652-6978. Again, that's 800-652-6978. Actual results based on individual client circumstances.
Digestive health is the key to wellness and elimination of toxins. That bears repeating. Digestive health is the key to wellness and elimination of toxins. And Pro-EM-1 Daily Probiotic Cleanse is the key to digestive health. Pro-EM-1 is a powerful liquid probiotic, strong enough to cleanse, gentle enough to use every day. Pro-EM-1 is dairy, wheat, and soy free, contains all natural and certified organic ingredients, contains no preservatives or animal products, supports a healthy digestive and immune system, supports weight loss, improves absorption of food nutrients, aids in controlling yeast infections, is never freeze-dried, and uses three groups of live, viable, beneficial microbes to cleanse and remove toxins. Order Pro-EM-1 Daily Probiotic Cleanse at Terraganics.com, spelled TerraGanix.com, Terraganics.com. Or call toll-free 866-369-3678. That's 866-369-3678. Pro-EM-1, the raw probiotic.
We're counting down what America's talking about. The Talk Radio Countdown Show continues.
Sad news about the death of Davy Jones. Those of you who remember Hey, Hey, We're the Monkees, here's host Michael Garfield talking about teen idols and the Monkees specifically, with Davy Jones having passed at such a young age.
Davy Jones, former lead singer, actually lead singer, I guess, the Monkees, is still touring, died this morning, 66 years old. That hurts. I was on the younger cusp of watching that show. I think it may have been a repeat when I was growing up and watching, you know, TVs certainly in the early to late 70s. Ah, that's man. For the people who don't know, he probably was one of the original, if not the original, of what I think you consider a teen idol. In fact, in 2008, I just looked this up, Yahoo Music named him the top teen idol of all time. I mean, teen idols, I guess we've got, I don't know why I think of Leif Garrett. I guess that is young, and there were mostly singers back in the day. Now, you know, you've got the movie stars. You got Zac Efron, and you've got the Biebs, and you've got, you know, Vanessa Hudgens, and all this other, all these other folks. Who are you missing with teen idols? And I mean, I'm in my, let's just say my mid-40s. Who is Ricky Nelson? He may have been the original one too. Because he was you know, on the Adventures of Ozzy and here he was one. Who else are we missing? Davy Jones, that's that most famous. I'm not gonna say most famously. You know, remember he made an appearance in the Brady Bunch. Remember he went? Didn't he go to the prom with Marcia? That is said. No, he's not the monkey whose mom is the multi-zillionaire who created liquid paper. That was Michael Nesmith, by the way. Dump Truck Dances, Donny Osmond. True, Donny Osmond. There's your teen idol. I'd say Michael Jackson back in the day, back when they had the cartoon days. Who was it? Derek, you're younger than I, real quickly. Who was teen idol in your day?
I watched a lot of Saved by the Bell, so
yeah.
Zach.
What, Screech was a teen idol back then?
No, I wouldn't say.
Well, he's a reverse teen idol.
Reverse teen idol, yeah. So... nowadays it's Justin Bieber and
they're like dudes. I guess.
Yeah, Jonathan Taylor Thomas was big back in the 90s.
Yeah, he was the kid on Tool Time, whatever it's called.
He was
on Tim the Tool Man Taylor Show.
What was that? Home Improvement.
Home Improvement. Yeah.
There we go. Here's radio host John Williams with Adam Carter talking about Davy Jones' death and how for a lot of people it's the loss of a piece of their childhood.
Every now and then, somebody in your life dies who isn't John Lennon or John Kennedy, and you say, I know, but still, a little bit of me just went away because that was part of my youth, or that was part of my teen years, or that was part of some part of my life that I don't want to be over yet. And now Davy Jones died. I think the reason that you care that Davy Jones died isn't because he was making any records now, but because if the monkeys are dying, then what does that say for the rest of us? He was 66 years old. I didn't know he was feeling well. He never returns my calls. But I'll bet you're pretty sad and shocked about it, too. Adam Carter had his face changed cosmetically so that he looked more like him.
Yeah, then I had it loosened up because I couldn't talk.
Did you see the monkeys in concert before?
I've never seen the monkeys. I was a pretty big fan, though, when I was a kid.
I was, too. And I was young enough, maybe, and maybe this was your case, too, where, look, the monkeys and the Beatles kind of, you know, were at the same time. But I was young enough, I liked the monkeys, not the Beatles, because I didn't understand the Beatles. They were older, and I wasn't that old yet. And they had that really funny TV show. I loved the monkeys TV show. And then I like their records, so I always had a little more of an emotional connection to the Monkees than I did the Beatles.
I was just thinking that. I liked the Monkees before I liked the Beatles, but then my interest in the Beatles resulted from my interest in the Monkees. And then, you know, after I liked the Beatles, that turned me on to a whole different areas of music. So I can really attribute my love of music in general back to the Monkees. My dad always hated it because he hated the monkeys. He always said, those guys don't even play their own instruments.
They don't play their instruments. It's a TV show. This is all very sad. He was a fun guy to know, said Marie. Ted said, very sad news. I used to listen to the monkeys all the time on my record player. If you don't know what a record player is, never mind. Joe said, yeah, he was a good singer. Kathleen said, always liked the monkeys growing up. Vicky said, my sister and I had to watch the monkeys every week. We loved them, and Davey especially. I loved the monkeys growing up, and now I have all of their albums. I had their trading cards when I was 1 year old. Wonder what I did with them, said Linda.
More info on all the items that are in the focus on the countdown at the homepage on DougStephan.com.